Subject I'm going to talk about today is a bit strange. It's a bit of a mystery. I wasn't going to bring it right yet because I've been waiting for God to show me when was the right time. And 2 weeks ago, the Lord says, this is the right time. And I went, okay. And to be honest, I'm not sure how it's going to go. Is that okay? Yeah. I'm trying to give my very best. I'm trying to teach something and I'm learning myself. So I've got P plates on. Is that all right? So we're going on a journey together. Some things I don't fully understand that is a mystery in the Bible, but I'm learning some new things as we are. And it's all about our identity in Christ. Is that okay? We're trying to find out who we are in Christ, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be saved, what it means to be part of the family of God, how that impacts us, how we can be a different person. And so for men today, I'm not going to apologize for what I'm going to talk about. But you might think it's strange, but I want you to go with me on it. Is that okay? So we're going to look at Song of Solomon's, and we're going to look at Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Let him kiss me with the kisses of my mouth. Can you talk about that in church? For your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume or oil poured out. No wonder the young women love you. Close your eyes for a minute, please. On your journey with Jesus now, on your Christian journey and your faith, how do you identify yourself with Christ right now? Think about it. Picture it. Picture yourself in your relationship with Jesus Christ and how you see yourself in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ today. You done that? I'm going to put three pictures up today, which are ways of trying us to think about things. They aren't the perfect picture. They never will be, but it helps us to think about it. So let's look at the first picture. You see that picture? Picture of a beautiful bride. You can look at your notes. A beautiful bride. Now, I was going to superimpose a man's face on that. So I thought, who's got a really manly, bushy beard that is part of our church that actually is talking a lot about identity with Christ and who he is in Christ. And I thought about imposing Daniel's face in a nice bride's dress. But then I decided I wouldn't do that. She's beautiful, isn't she? Do you not think she's beautiful? Beautiful. She's dressed for the occasion. She looks the part. Can I say to you, that's you. In God's eyes, you're as beautiful as that young lady is. But do you believe it? Do you believe that you can be, in God's eyes, as beautiful as that young lady? Now, I know she has imperfections. She's not the perfect person. There's only one person that is perfect. But I'm trying to get us to think today how God sees us. We may think, well, I'm nothing like that. I've got major problems in my life. I do things wrong. Nobody could possibly want to see me in that way. But I want to tell you, Jesus sees you in that way. Men, I don't want you to superimpose your face on that, but he sees you, that you're beautiful and you're precious. You know, some men go, well, don't talk about things like that as men. The Bible tells us that a bride is a picture of what each of us were created to be. And we will never, ever be complete in him until we know the bridegroom. There will always be an emptiness. There will always be something missing in our lives until we meet the bridegroom. Until the bridegroom and I and us are in relationship with him. Deep down in the center of our being, in the deepest parts of our lives, in our hearts, in our soul, we seek to be filled and we'll be never really be complete until we have the bridegroom. Isn't that true? You'll never be complete. And explore the bridegroom and what that means for us. You see, you and I, when we were created right at the beginning of time and designed by our Maker, we were designed for a marriage with him. Do you believe that? Who believes that? He didn't make a mistake. And God said, let us make man in our image. Right at the beginning of time, and probably before that time, when it's a wonderful relationship. The bridegroom is Jesus. The bridegroom is the one for who you and I were created. Do you believe that? God just didn't think it down history. Or maybe we should just make this bridegroom and marriage and make the relationship work like this. Right from the beginning, you and I were created for Jesus to be in a relationship with him. In the Hebrew, we have the word for bridegroom. It's called katan. And we don't have an English understanding of what this meaning is. As we study it, and as I've studied it, it started to get me to think deeper and more about what this word means. But in essence, this is what it means. It means he who joins himself completely. He who joins himself completely. That's the katan, that's the bridegroom that we have the Hebrew here. And I want to say to you today and remind you today, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, he did something very special. This is what he did. He says, I'm going to join myself completely to you. I'm not just going to give you part of me. I'm going to give you all of me. Isn't that good news? I think it's amazing news because I've been starting to think this. It makes me think how wonderful Jesus is. And as I've started to think, and I believe as you start to go on your journey and think about this, that not only will it change you a little bit, but it will completely transform your thinking. Sadly, some people believe that God is somewhere out there, that God is unapproachable, that God is distant, and he's out there being an angry God that wants to just bring judgment on people and wants to see people and struggle in life. And some people believe that God is an angry God and he's not a loving God. And that's so far from the truth, isn't it? Yeah. It's radically so far from the truth. There are many religions that teach this, that this misconception that somehow we've got to do something to the best of our abilities, to do everything possible to get God to accept us. And by doing it in some way, we'll convince him to love us. That's why you look at a lot of pagan religions. They do all kinds of things to try and appease their God. In some way, their God will be happy with the sacrifice of their children. Maybe if we sacrifice our children, maybe then we'll appease this God. But that's so far from the truth, isn't it? God never planned for us to be distant from him. That was never his plan. When he walked in with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, his plan was to be close to them and to have a wonderful, loving relationship with them. The katan, what does that mean? It means God himself desires to join himself to us. And I want to encourage you today that he has done everything possible and made things happen. Everything happen. He's made a way for us to enjoy a relationship with the bridegroom. He's done it all. There's nothing we can do. He has done it. Is that not good news for the church? It is his very nature. It is his heart to join his divine life to ours. We don't have to convince God to love us. He already does. Can you put your hand on your heart and go, I know he loves me. I know you love me, Lord. You don't have to convince him by good works. He already loves you so much today. But you know, it's not enough just to know about the bridegroom. You can know a lot about people. It's only enough that you get to know him personally. You know the difference, don't we? You can get to know somebody about them, but until you get to know them, you don't really understand who they are. The bridegroom joins every part of his life to every part of our life. Our hearts, our soul, our desires, Jesus completely joins himself to all of those areas in our life. Only when we know the bridegroom personally will our deepest needs and longings be fulfilled. And the bridegroom becomes the katan of our very being. The katan is pure love. Do you know that Jesus is pure love? If you want the lover of your soul, the one that will love you purely and wonderfully, and in such amazing way beyond your wildest dreams, it's Jesus. His love is totally pure. And he becomes one with us. I don't know whether you've ever watched people or lads when they see a girl that they think, I'd like to know that girl a little bit better. What does the guy do? Does he sit there and just hope that she'll just come and talk to him? Or does he go and approach her and say, do you know what? You're beautiful. Would you like to come onto my arm today? That was for you, Chris Brown. Just a bit of help there. You see, the bridegroom approaches the bride. And I want to say to you, Jesus has done everything to approach you. He does everything. He will approach you, and he does approach you. When we receive Jesus into our life, I want to remind us again, he joins himself to us. We don't do anything. He does everything. Does that make sense? He approaches us. He joins himself to us. There is absolutely no part of us that he will not join himself to. I think this is amazing. Jesus says, well, I have the good bits, but I don't want the bad bits. He completely joins everything of him to everything of us. He does that. That means no matter how bad we are, no matter how sinful we are, no matter how ungodly we are, he chooses to join himself completely to us with all that he has. And he holds nothing back for us. He doesn't wait until we're good enough, until we've been a Christian long enough, until we've repented enough. He says, if you'll accept me, I will completely join myself to you 100%. I think that's amazing. Because if I look at my life and I was God, I wouldn't want to do that. But he does. He pursues us. Because Jesus is the katan, he has joined everything of himself, even to our sins. How do we know that? When Jesus died on the cross, he joined himself to everything that we are. He joined our souls even to the most ungodly, sinful parts of our life, the bits that we don't want the neighbour next to us to know about. The bits that we may be married for many, many years and the person next to us doesn't know about. Or our friendships that we've had for many years and we would never let them know that part of our life. On the cross, Jesus joins himself to the most ungodly, sinful parts of our life. And because of this miracle that Jesus does, this wonderful miracle, the Bible tells us this, there is now nothing that can separate us from his love. It's what the Word of God says. It's not what I'm making up. This is what the Word of God says. We're going to look at these scriptures right now. If you're in Christ Jesus, the Word of God says this, that Jesus has joined himself, I want you to say this, three words, completely, totally, and forever. Completely, totally, and forever. So let's look at Romans, the book of Romans. Romans 8, 38 to 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your sins cannot separate you from his love. When you're in Christ Jesus, nothing you can do can separate you from his love. Isn't that good news for us? And I want us to grasp that, because sometimes, you know, what the enemy will do, he'll say, oh, you're a failure. You've done it again, haven't you? God couldn't possibly want to love you. Why would he even want you as a Christian? Why would he even want you to be one of his followers? You're such a loser. That's what the enemy will say. But how do we counteract what the enemy says? We declare the truth. And the truth is in the word of God. And the word of God says nothing will separate us from the love of God when we are in Christ Jesus. The key is being in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. What about Isaiah 54 verse 5? For your maker is your husband and the Lord Almighty is his name. Isn't that wonderful that God Almighty, the creator of all the universes, is your husband? Men, he's your husband. The creator of everything is your husband. What about this one? I love this one, Isaiah 62 verse 5. I got the scriptures wrong and I've written them out and put hopefully the new one in there. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. Isn't that wonderful? Do you believe it? Who believes that statement? Who's struggling with that statement? Let's read it together again. As a young man marries a young woman, so your builder will marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. What's God doing today, right now? Anybody? Wow. Who's he rejoicing over? Over me, sinful, failure, person that doesn't do things right all the time. My wife will tell you that. He's rejoicing over me right now. Isn't that beautiful? It goes on more than that. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. Let's read this together. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you in his love. He will rejoice over you with... Wow. Don't you think that's amazing? When I first went out with Esther, so much in love with her. I'm not going to embarrass her. She's told me I mustn't embarrass her. But I've got to tell you this story. Not to embarrass Esther. It's about me. I decided to sing some love songs to Esther. They must have been really good because we've been married now for 50 years. 30 years. How many years is it? I know. Do you want to know some of the love songs I used to sing over her? I used to take her hand. I used to look into her eyes. When I sing you this song, you'll know why she married me. I used to sing these words. She'll tell you it's true. Are you ready? You smile, your teeth fall out. You wave your wooden leg about. It's magic. How else can I explain how you slide down the drain? It's tragic. She used to love me singing those songs. Is that true, Es? Did I do that or not? But I did. Used to make up songs which were better than that. And you're not having the copyright on it. That belongs to me. I'm sorry. You may want it, but you can't have it. But I used to make up songs in the car when we were going out together. And I used to tell her how much I loved her. And she used to cringe, I know. She doesn't cringe. She just hopes that the hole will appear and I will fall through it. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now, he doesn't sing songs like that. But what is he singing over you today? Do you know that the Lord Jesus loves you so much? He's got his own personal love song. He's singing over you today and he's rejoicing. Can you get it in your heart today? That he loves you that much, he's singing over you. See, we think God possibly couldn't possibly love me or care about me because of the way I'm. Yes, he does. Not only does he love you, he's rejoicing over you right now. And he's singing over you. I'm going to put another picture up in a minute. And again, it's a picture that it doesn't explain everything, but I'm going to try and explain what I think the picture is trying to tell us. Is that okay? So can we try and put that picture up, Ben? You see that lovely picture? You see the bridegroom? I think he's really excited about his bride, don't you? I think he's a bit overwhelmed that he's managed to catch this young lady and that she is going to be his wife. I see that picture really, that looks a bit like Trevor and Gina there. What do you think, Trevor? So Trevor, when he saw Gina, he went, that's the girl I'm going to marry. And the bridegroom is so overwhelmed with his bride. The reason I've done this picture is that's Jesus looking over you today. When he sees you, a beautiful bride, and he's overwhelmed by the fact you're his bride. Is it okay if I just do a bit of preacher's license for a minute? I very rarely do this. I don't, but I want to do it just for a minute. I want you to picture Jesus in heaven today with the angels, and he goes, excuse me, everybody, this is my bride. This is the one I gave my life for. This is the one I left heaven to go to. And he's pointing to you, every one of you in the room. And he's saying, everybody, look, this is my wife. You know, when I got married, I would say, this is my wife. Sometimes it's difficult to do. Because of our childhood experiences, a lot of kids now don't grow up with dads. A lot of children, as they've grown up, have grown up in bad situations and don't understand really what is true love. And they choose partners in their life that never love them and treat them the way they have been as children, because they go through a pattern because they desperately want to be loved and think, well, maybe that's what love is, and don't really understand it. But we'll go down this path and it ends up in a disaster. And what happens is that our perception of what really love is gets distorted, a little bit like the distortion that people think that God is distant and far away and he doesn't want a relationship with us. And it's so radically the opposite. And I cannot, in my limited capacity, try and explain to you how much God loves you. But today, do not let your childhood experiences and past relationships determine how God loves you. I believe today God wants to break a mindset of how you see yourself and how Jesus sees you today. So I'm trying through these pictures to give you an understanding of how loved and precious you are to him. How do we define love? It's difficult, but maybe as we journey through this sermon today, this will help us. Love is to put ourselves in the place of another. It's to feel their feelings. It's to walk in their shoes. It's to weep with their tears. It's to rejoice with their joys. It's to take upon ourselves burdens. It's to give people our life. Isn't that just what Jesus did? Isn't that just what Jesus has done for you and I? He didn't have to leave heaven. He could have left us as we were. But he didn't. He came down in flesh and blood. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. For you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. Yes, Lord, that's me. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, showed cosmic love to this world, for everybody, without exception.
The Bible tells us that God is love. How many of us have read that word, that verse, God is love? One of the shortest, not the shortest, the second one is, the most short is Jesus wept, but the third one is God is love. How many times have we read it and go, yeah, I know that. What's the next verse? God is love. He is the greatest love. He's the ultimate love. What is the greatest possible manifestation of his love? That God would put himself in the place of another. Jesus put himself in the place of us. He walked in our shoes. He had the same feelings that we had. He cried tears like you and I. He rejoiced like you and I. He took our burdens. He took our judgment of death to save us. And he gave his own life. How much does Jesus love me? This much. And more. See, the greatest love has already manifested itself on our planet. Jesus putting himself in our place. Whether we feel it or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. The problem is we go on our feelings so often. And let's be honest, we do. One day we can conquer the world. We can get up in the morning. We can conquer the world and we can say, I can do anything today because I just feel good. Another day, we roll over and pull the curtains over us. We don't do that now. We pull the blankets over us and say, I just want to hide. I don't feel loved. I don't feel cared about. I just feel rubbish. Anybody been there? Or is that just me on a Sunday morning when I've got to preach? I could, you know, some Sundays. I could say, do you know what, I'll ring a sickie today. Don't feel like it. Don't feel like preaching. At times I don't, if I'm honest. Can I be honest with you? At times I don't. It doesn't matter whether you feel loved or whether you don't feel loved. That does not change anything. The greatest love has already happened in your life, in this world. No work we do can alter God's love for us. We can't work and work and work to make God love us. He'll still love us the same. And do you know, if you even sin the vilest sin, and you're in Christ Jesus, he still loves you the same. Isn't that amazing? Am I preaching a message that isn't truthful? You can't make him love you any more or any less by the way we behave. Even if we feel it or even if we don't, the greatest love is there nonetheless. We cannot change it, but what we can do is receive it and allow the Katan, the bridegroom, to come and completely join himself to us so that all that is in him is joined to all that is in us. I had a picture this morning, and this wasn't part of the sermon. I was in my office, and I'd got to this point in this sermon where I was going through the sermon, and I saw a picture of somebody being pushed away. They didn't want to push the person away because they loved the person. But the reason they pushed the person away is because they felt so bad about themselves. I believe in this room today, there are people that have pushed Jesus away because of how bad they feel about themselves. They don't want to do it, but they find themselves doing it. Because of the hurt, because of the pain, because of their perception in their own life of who they are. God, can't have it. Can't handle it. I want to say to you today, Jesus is still there right now. You can't push him away. He's not going to go away. He's not going to leave you. He is here for eternity. Let's go back to Song of Solomon. I want to say to you that we can only receive it and be completely joined to him. And as we do so, we will be completely transformed. Let's go back to Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 3. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume or oil poured out. This Song of Solomon is about the bride and the bridegroom. It's about us and it's about Jesus. And I believe one of the reasons I'm preaching this sermon is that the Lord Jesus is saying to us today, I want you to enjoy marriage with me on this earth right now. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You don't have to live your life the way you're living it right now, like that tree that's not fully matured, that's not going deeper. You don't have to stay like that anymore. You can enjoy a wonderful marriage with me right now. I want to ask you, what's your marriage like with Jesus right now? Is it wonderful? Is it amazing? What's it like? In eternity, in heaven, I know it's going to be a wonderful thing. But Jesus has died for us to enjoy our relationship with him right now too. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe he wants you to enjoy it? Some of you don't look like you do. I know you're thinking about tea or dinner. Think about this. And the bride says, your name is like perfume, oil poured out. The bride is in love. And you know when the bride is in love? The beloved's name is beautiful. When I first got married, my wife would say, Robin. She loved my name. Now she goes, Robin. No, she doesn't. The bride loves to say the name of their beloved. In the East, as you imagine, it was quite hot. And probably people's odours were not the best to get close to somebody in the East. So they used to put ancient oils, special spices, sweet fragrances on your body so that you would smell nice. The bride was saying that her beloved's name is like pouring oil. It was beautiful. It was filled with a sweet fragrance. And the bride is completely in love with the bridegroom. I want to say to you today, or ask you today, are you completely in love with Jesus today? Are you? I love Jesus. When I do funerals, when I do weddings, when I have service, when I worship the Lord and I worship with him with everything I have, even at times when I'm feeling unwell. I've been unwell over the last few years for various things. There's been times when I really didn't want to feel well enough to come to church and times when I could just sit there. But, you know, I've stood because I want to worship him because I love him. And I'll tell anybody I love him because I'm so much in love with him. I love his name. I love the name of Jesus. I love singing songs like Jesus. What a beautiful name. There's so much power in his name. It gives me joy. It's like pouring oil. Let's go to the New Testament for a minute. So I'm starting to feel quite overwhelmed at the moment. In the New Testament, we have the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. How does that link in with the Song of Solomon? We're going to try and link it together. I'm going to try and do my very best to try and link this together as we come to a conclusion in a few minutes. We have found the Messiah. The name of Christ, the name Christ, comes from the Greek, which is Christos. Christos, when it's translated into Hebrew, is Messiah. Messiah is linked to oil. It literally means the anointed one, the one anointed with oil. Do you see the connection that we have here in the New Testament? From this wonderful song of song, this love song, talking about the Messiah, it's talking about the Christ. As his bride, we are to be in so love with Jesus, the Messiah, that we delight in his name. And his name is on our lips, he's on our mind, he's on our heart. What are you thinking about right now? Are you thinking about, I wish you'd hurry up with this sermon? I'm not going to. because I want us to understand it. This might be the last sermon I ever preach. Who knows what tomorrow may bring? What's on your thoughts right now? A girl I went out with a little while before Esther. It was in this church. And, do you know, when she was at school, she'd write me 2 letters a day. So she'd write 1 in the morning when she was studying, go to the post box at dinner time, tell me and post a letter. And then she'd write another one in the afternoon, put it in the post box, and the next day I'd get 2 letters. What was on her mind? She was thinking about me. I don't know why. What's on your mind today? Is it about Jesus? See, I believe that in this time before Jesus comes back, he wants his bride to be really in love with him. He wants you and I to be really in love with him. Do you know, I think if I'm really in love with Jesus more and more, then I'm going to be a better husband to my wife. And if I'm in love with Jesus more and more, I'm going to be a better father to my children. And if I'm in love with Jesus more and more, I'm going to be a better pastor for this church. And if I'm in love with Jesus more and more, I'm going to be a better friend to my friends. What do we think then when we hear the word worship? John 4:24. God is spirit and worshippers must worship in spirit and truth. Who's read that scripture before? Who understands what it means? Who's really grasped it? I haven't. I'm sorry. I'm learning as I'm looking at this sermon. You know, we sing hymns, we call it worship. We've had a lovely time of praise and worship in church this morning, haven't we? Have we? It has been a beautiful time, hasn't it? But that's an outward form of worship. That's how worship is manifest in the way we perhaps sing and raise our hands and stand. But what is at the heart of worship? True worship takes place on the inside. It's the heart of the worshipper. It happens, what's on the inside is what matters. Let's return again to Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. Nearly finished. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is more delightful than wine. In the Greek, we have the word proskenio, something like that. But what it does mean, it means to kiss. True worship is to kiss. Now, I enjoy kissing. Not kissing everybody. But I remember my first kiss. Who remembers their first kiss? Hopefully it was enjoyable. A kiss is a very intimate thing, isn't it? Worship, therefore, if it means kiss, means intimacy. Do you know, some people are frightened of intimacy with others because of the way they've been hurt. I want to say this to you today. And again, I believe this is for somebody in this room. I believe it is a very prophetic message. You are frightened to be intimate with Jesus because of the way you've been hurt by others. And he will never hurt you and treat you that way. There is an intimacy that you're frightened of having because of what has happened to you in a very negative way. And the fact of getting close to Jesus in a very intimate way is you push him away, and the very thing you need right now is to embrace him and have that intimate kiss of worship. Does that make sense? To worship God means to kiss God. This is found 61 times in the New Testament. You can do your own study on it. I want to put another picture up in a minute. Don't put it up yet. This is my last picture. And it's me trying to express how the bridegroom feels when he kisses the bride. Is that okay? We had a wedding here the other day of Medan and Sandra's oldest son. And at one point when they were married, I said, you may now kiss the bride. The veil was taken up and he kissed the bride and everybody applauded. And I thought, that's a wonderful picture. So this picture is to try and give you an idea of what the bridegroom feels when he kisses the bride. Is that okay? Are you ready for it? Okay, let's put it up. Yes. That first kiss. He's so excited. Do you see how much the bridegroom loves you? In the spiritual realm, it's the kiss from our heart. It's from our innermost being. And when we kiss, we don't do it because we have to. In the morning when I see my wife and I give her a kiss, and I do give her a kiss most days, there are times I do forget, I'm sorry if I do that. And I look and I tell her I love her. I don't do it because I have to do it. It's my husbandly duty to give my wife a kiss. I better do it because it's a tick box exercise. I kiss my wife and my children and tell them I love them because I want to. Because it's an overflow from the joy in my heart of that relationship. It's never done in compulsion. Oh, God, better kiss my wife. God. I did it last year. It's not that funny, Joe. It's never done in compulsion. But it's done from the overflow of my heart. Does that make sense? I worship the Lord. I kiss Jesus, my Saviour, out of the compulsion of my heart because I love him. Because his name is beautiful. So true worship is an expression of joy. We worship out of joy. The joy becomes worship and our worship becomes joy. And it's this wonderful cycle. Worship is the expression of love. It's the most intimate act of love and joy. Worship is as simple as kissing God. For men, we may think this is weird, this is strange. Nevertheless, it's the truth. Ephesians 5:28. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. What did Jesus do from heaven? He left his father to come to the earth to be united with his bride. He left the Father for the bride, to be united with the bride. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Our Catan, Jesus, loves, cares, and provides for us. The divine plan and purpose is that the bride, the church, becomes the very life of her husband. Jesus is the husband. He nourishes, he cherishes her. He's left his heavenly home in order to be joined with her. You and I are so precious that he left heaven and sought us out. We have this sacredness, we have this permanency, we have this fidelity within our marriage to Jesus the bridegroom. There is a beauty in this relationship where our thoughts are preoccupied with each other. Our thoughts are about him. And you know, Jesus' thoughts are about us. What's he thinking right now about you and me? What's he declaring over our life? What's he singing? What's he rejoicing about today? The profound mystery we have here, it unites both the Jew and the Gentile into the body of Christ. We were not the chosen people, the Jews were. But Jesus' plan was that Jews and Gentiles together would be the bride of Christ. And it unites us to the bridegroom, absolutely, completely, permanently. Your name is ever on his lips, forever. Do you believe that? Do you feel different today than when you came in? Yeah. Close your eyes for a minute if you wouldn't mind, and if the musicians would come back. I am today going to ask you to do something. I am today going to ask you to respond in a very personal way. I don't believe today that Jesus wants you to go out differently, go out the same as when you came in. I believe he wants to do something today that will supernaturally change the way you feel about yourself, the way you see yourself, the way you view yourself. And then if you go out today without responding, you are doing yourself the biggest misjustice you can to yourself. Because Jesus has done everything, absolutely everything for you. He's sought after you. He's provided a way for you to be restored to the Father. He's joined himself 100% completely to all of you, all of us. And he still loves us and he still wants us. But if you don't want him, the person that's going to be hurt the most is you. And you're going to continue in a cycle where you feel bad about yourself, the way the things you've done, the things you've done, the way you've done, the things, the mistakes you've made. And all you'll ever do is listen to the voice of the enemy. And that time has to stop today. It has to. You cannot keep going round in a wilderness experience, going round on an up and down, feeling good one day, feeling bad. It has to come to an end for you today. Jesus loves you so much that he wants it to happen today. When I preach and fill up like this, it's because I'm feeling in my spirit, this is how I know. This is what God wants me to know. I'm feeling what I believe he's feeling right now. This is one of the gifts that God has placed in my heart, that at times when I'm preaching, I feel the compassion of Jesus. And really, right now, he's so compassionate towards you. He always is, but right now, this is a time right now for you. He does not want you to feel bad about yourself. He does not want you to feel rejected. He doesn't want you to feel useless. He wants you to see yourself as loved and beautiful, like that bride. Absolutely gorgeous. Wow, that's my bride. That's how he wants you to feel today. If you feel anything different, then it's not from God. Not God's plan for you. I know I've spoken a lot today, but I really can't let you go today until you do something. And I am going to ask you in a minute to stand, not yet. And I want you to stand as though you are coming down the aisle. At the back of the aisle, you know the bride. She gets ready. She's with the Father. She's coming for the bridegroom. The music's playing just like now. And you're going to stand and you're going to see yourself as that beautiful bride. And do you know what I did when my wife came down? I had a little look to make sure it was her. I took a double take because actually she looked so beautiful the way she'd done her hair. I thought, wow. And the Lord is looking right now for you to come. Men, I'm talking to you as well today. You know, it's a manly thing to love Jesus. It's not in out of context, wrong relationships. It's a manly thing. It's a right thing for a man to do, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. To be passionate about him. Some people said that David had a wrong relationship with Jonathan, a homosexual relationship. Some people will use that to promote homosexuality. That is not true. But he had a love enough to die for his friend. Don't push him away today, please. Please don't push him away. Embrace him. So in a minute now, I'm going to say, I want you to stand in a minute. And I just want you to imagine that yourself, you're standing at those two doors at the back waiting for this marriage ceremony to begin. Everyone's ready. The work's been done. All you've got to do now is just walk towards the bridegroom. Is that okay, church? I want you to do it without looking at other people and looking what's going around. If you're willing to do it and you can stand, I'm going to ask you to stand right now. I don't want you to look at anybody else around in the room. I want you just to stand for yourself. And there's an intimacy that's going to start with you and Jesus that's going to blow your mind. There's going to be love songs that will rise up in your heart. There's going to be a passion that will rise up in your life, your very being right now. And in the days and months to come before Jesus returns, because he's coming back soon. Do you know that, church? He's coming. He's definitely coming. He's coming for you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stand for a minute. Love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love your name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're so beautiful. So beautiful. Jesus. You are loved. Yes, you are. By me. Yes, you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, at times we've allowed our feelings, we've allowed things to stop us being the person you've called us to be. Today, Lord Jesus, we choose to be the bride, to stand with you, to embrace you, to look into your eyes, to kiss your lips, to have that intimate relationship that you've always created us to have. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, don't let us stay where we are. As you embrace us and you protect us and you love us, change us, encourage us, show us how loved we are, that we might be the people you've called us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Today, I want to ask you that you would study this sermon again. And to ask yourself, how are you different after today? In what ways? How do you see yourself today as you used to see yourself before? Is that okay, church? Next week, we're going to return back to the lambs and the sacrifice, which I was going to do this week, but I feel that this was the week we had to do this. And I pray I've got God's timing right on that. I know what I wanted to say is right, but I've just prayed the timing is right because you're here. God bless you. Thank you so much. We'll finish with a worship song and then there's time afterwards for refreshments. Thank you.